All right, prayer and music. Hey, I want to welcome you back to this course on how to lead or start a youth ministry. It's been a couple of months since I did the last lecture. I know it was on Bible study. That's probably one of the biggest things that you're going to do. But in this next lecture, I want to talk about music and I want to talk about prayer. Both of these things are really important with a youth group. Okay, so Psalm 68, 32 through 33. Sing to the Lord, you kingdoms of the earth. Sing praise to the Lord, to him who rides across the highest heavens, the Ancient of Heavens, who thunders with a mighty voice. Proclaim the power of God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose power is in the heavens. So, one of the reasons we want to use music is because the Bible talks about it. Now, in some ways, it's kind of strange. If you think about a worship service, probably 40 to 50% of the worship service is music. And then the other maybe 40% is speaking the sermon, and then we have some other parts of the service. But a huge part is singing, and you got to wonder why that is. I know the Bible talks about it. People have been doing it forever. But why is music, singing, something that we do together? And I think it's because of the nature of music. Music is kind of like speaking. There's words often to a song, but it's something that we can do all together. When you hear a sermon, one person's doing the talking. And it's hard to have, you know, if you have 100 people in your group, it's hard to have 100 people talk at one time. So we have one person do it. But in singing, all 100 can be talking at the same time. And it's not chaos. And then if you add harmony, different people can be doing different parts, and the whole is bigger than what one person could do. It's a beautiful picture of what the body of Christ is. Music is often, songs are often more memorable. And so anything we want to communicate that we want people to know, if we put it into music and people learn the music, often they can hold on to it for years. It's a lot easier to memorize something if it's part of a song. So there's a lot of good reasons why we use music in a worship service, and all those same reasons apply to youth ministry. All right. Let's look at why a lot of times youth groups do not sing. Back in 82, I went to the Philippines with my wife. We taught at a Bible college and seminary, and the students that we had, they sang. Singing was just a part of their life. Everyone, I think like 80% could play the guitar. When we would teach a song, the second time through the song, they were already adding harmony to it. And then when I got back to the United States, I was in for a rude awakening because a lot of the kids, singing had somehow gone out of style. And it's weird because, in a way, music is ever present. When I was a kid, we had one radio and a record player, and that was in the living room, and my dad controlled it. And then the transistor was invented, and that meant transistor radios could be manufactured cheaply. I bought mine my first one for $5. And all of a sudden, everyone had access to music. Now everyone has, 1,000 songs on their phone. So music is around us, it surrounds us, and yet people singing together is less and less. People go to a concert and they sing, but people in general are singing less and less together. It used to be that you sang at every single event. A community event, you'd sing. Church event, you'd sing. School event, you'd sing. But now, Now people aren't singing. So, and there's some reasons why sometimes it might be hard to get youth to sing. I'll give you some reasons. Number one, youth are incredibly self-conscious and insecure. They're at a time in their life when they're trying to figure out who they are. Who am I? I don't know. Can I sing? Can I not sing? I remember in fourth grade, I was at a chapel and I was singing away. And after the first song, a girl that was sitting in front of me turned around and looked at me and said, "Who said you could sing?" Well, that devastated me. I still wonder if I can sing just because of that one comment. Young people are incredibly self-conscious because they don't know who they are. They're trying out their wings. Am I smart? Am I not smart? Am I good at sports? Am I not good at sports? Am I a smart person? Am I not smart? Do I have friends? Do I not have friends? What will I do? Where will I go? All these questions are just possibilities. And people don't know youth don't know who they are unless they compare themselves with others. We say, well, you shouldn't compare yourself, but how do you know if you're tall? Unless you stand next to someone who's shorter than you. You don't know who you are unless you can see yourself against the backdrop of others. And so at this time in young people's lives, that's what they're doing. So singing is, you know, some people can sing and some people can't. And so it's one of those things that you can be judged on. Number two, it can be too emotional. Like, again, you don't want to step outside yourself. You don't want someone to take notice. I mean, in some ways, youth, it's a paradox. You want people to notice you, but you don't want people to notice you. Oh, and you don't want people to notice you and think that you're strange. Or that you're, you know, weirdly different from others. And so some songs, if you're you know, grabbing you emotionally, and young people are filled with all kinds of emotions because of everything that they're going through. Number three, lack of musical background. A lot of kids just haven't had any training whatsoever, and they don't know, you know, what it is. They don't know how to do it. They're not sure they're in tune. A lot of youth guys, especially, struggle with pitch, and it's uniquely a problem for guys because our voices change during our youth experience. You know, when we're kids, we have a high voice. But then as we go through puberty, all of a sudden your voice drops down at least an octave. And so, you know, before they were singing way up here, now they have to, you know, find their note down here. It's an octave lower. Some of you don't even know what an octave is. A lot of youth don't know what an octave is, but that's what you have to do. It's an octave is like the same note, but it's different. It's lower. And it's lower just enough so that it sounds good with people that are singing the upper part. Well, a lot of guys, the first part of their life, they were singing up here. And all of a sudden their voice drops and they have no idea how to find that note that fits. So what a lot of guys do is once their voices become lower, they just sing, you know, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved." They just go down and they stay on one note and that's what they sing. They just don't, "Amazing Grace, Amazing Grace." See, that's an octave. "Amazing Grace." Well, a lot of guys can't find what that is. They were used to it up here. Now they're totally lost. So they just go to the lowest note, "Amazing Grace, how sweet." They just sing one note. And then they reinforce that one note over and over again, and they have no idea how to get to the other notes. And so they mumble through songs because they're afraid that people will hear. They don't want someone to hear their singing. Number four, unfamiliar with most songs. So if you have a youth group that's growing, you have new kids come in, all these kids know these songs that we're singing, and I don't know any of them. Or I know one, but I don't know the others. How do I catch up? We sing five songs this meeting, and then the next meeting we sing five other songs. I didn't even learn the first five, and now I have five more that I am supposed to know. So again, I'm this youth person who's kind of, you know, on the outside. I don't know how I fit in. Number five, fear of standing out. Okay? Negatively. Kids want to be noticed. They want to be a part of things, but they don't want to stand out. They don't want to be that odd person out. And singing is a thing that might... Singing requires some ability and talent. And maybe I don't have the ability or the talent. All right, on the positive side, okay, what can you do to help sing? It's a challenge, especially if your group isn't singing. If your group is not singing, it's going to be a challenge to get it going. There's going to be some resistance because of everything I said to you. So what can you do about it? How can you get singing a part of the youth group? And I'm telling you, it's worth the effort. Because once you turn the corner on singing, it's something that can bring people closer to each other and closer to God. It can be really, really powerful. Find a theme song for your group. Okay? Get the kids involved. Look at different songs. Maybe one of the kids could write a song. Maybe you can write a song. But find a theme song that you sing maybe every single meeting. In the beginning, it'll be hard because it's just a song. It has no connection to anything. But if you keep using that theme song year after year, that theme song will collect all the memories of these kids and events. And there'll be spiritual things that happen over the years, and they'll get connected to that song. And that song will become more and more and more powerful. And you know, out of all the things that you teach the kids, this is one of the things that may actually last. Living for Jesus, a life that is free, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and true, this is a pathway. That song... I learned back in 1965. We're talking over 50 years ago. I learned that song. I was part of a young boys club in a church, and that was our theme song. And at the end of the night, we sang that song together. We gathered around. They turned the lights out. We sang the song. 50 years ago, and I still know the song. Number two, make it happen. Okay, you got to decide to do it. It may not go well at first. You just have to decide we're going to do this. You know, I taught my kids when I have four boys, and when they were teenagers, I decided to teach them the hymns and teach them the tenor part and the bass part. They were not excited to do that. Okay, they didn't want to do it. But we just kept at it, night after night after night after night. And eventually they got it, and now they're glad that we did it. Use the talent that you have in the group. Maybe you have some people that can play a guitar or a piano. Or maybe you don't have any talent whatsoever. Then get someone to come in and teach guitar. If you learn three chords, you can play 100 songs. Sing a cappella. Find anybody that can hold onto a pitch and sing. There's all kinds of reasons for you to not do this. Well, we don't have the talent. Oh, we can't do it. Oh, we sound terrible. Do it anyway. You do with what you can do. And you know what? As you get going, things will happen. Talent will come. As a very last resort, just play along with somebody's phone. You just turn it on and sing along. There's absolutely no reason to not sing in a youth group. Put together a youth group songbook. Okay? You know, over time, get the kids involved, have them find songs. And then, you know, put the words, I mean, it's just words. You know, you type them out, put a, you know, get 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper, you know, type them out, print them out, staple it, boom, songbook. It's not hard. Once you have a songbook, you can pick from things. People, oh, what should we sing? And then they get out the, well, let's sing number 14. And you can easily just add to it. The key here is to just do it. Pray. Okay, so singing is part of what we do as the body of Christ. We do it in worship services, but we do it in youth groups too. And prayer is a big part as well. Now, prayer in our youth group, again, the same problems that we had with singing. Youth are self-conscious and they're very insecure. And now you want me to pray? See, the thing is, youth have heard other people pray, okay? And if you've never prayed out loud, when you hear someone else pray, it's almost like magic. It's like, how do these people that pray out loud do that? Because there's some words that you have to say to get the thing going. Okay, it's like flying a plane. You gotta get the plane in the air. So, oh Lord, we come to you. Our Father who art in heaven, Lord, we come to you. You know, there's some words that people generally use to get this prayer off the ground. And then once the plane is in the air, they fly it around and they pray for this and they pray for that. And how do they keep track of what to even do or how to do it? And then you have to bring the prayer down into a landing. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, there's some kind of an ending. Amen. Okay? So there's a beginning thing that we got to learn, and then there's the ending thing, and then there's all the acrobat moves that people make while they're praying. And if you're listening, you've never prayed out loud, you've never had to give a speech, it's like if someone said to you, okay, now you open in prayer, you're like, I have no idea what to do. I don't know how to take the plane off the ground. I don't know how to do the loop-de-loops once it's off the ground. And I don't know how to bring it to a landing. And now I have to try to do something that I don't know if I can do. I have to do that in front of everyone else that you know, I'm worried about what they think of me already. It's too emotional. It's interesting, you know, when you pray with people, and this is not just with youth, but you pray with anybody, you know, tears come through prayer. If you do a pastoral care thing with somebody, and then you say, well, let's pray, and you start praying, the emotions. Now, number one, their energy is up because it's an emotional kind of thing, especially if you want them to do some of the praying out loud. They're already keyed up. And so anything sad is going to be more sad. Too emotional. Number three, lack of prayer experience or know-how. Okay, that's what I've been saying. It's just, you know, for those that know how to do it and have done it a lot, it's like, well, whatever. It's like riding a bike. You get on the bike, you ride it. But if you've never ridden a bike, it's like, it looks like a magical thing. How do you stay up? Two wheels. How is it possible that you can stay up? Okay. They just don't know how. They have no experience. Fear of failure, of course. This is the biggest fear that young people have. The fear of failure. The fear of looking foolish in front of others. And they think they'll never recover from it. People will now label me as this stumbling idiot that can't pray. Fear of speaking in public. Okay? Again, we know how to have a conversation with a friend. We know how to talk to our parents. We know how to talk on, you know, in the sports thing that we're involved in. But this is a whole different thing. This is like standing up in front of people. You know, when you're sitting on the side, you're with three people and you're just talking. You have mountains of experience with that. But standing in front of people and putting two words together, no experience. And because you're so fearful, you don't have 100% of your brain working on what you're doing. Okay? Your brain is like worried about what everyone is thinking. Most of your energy, the brain power that you have, is spent on other people, not on what you're saying. So you stumble. You go blank. You have no idea how to finish the sentence. You have no idea what the next sentence is going to be. All right, so how do we get this going? Start by modeling short prayers. One of the problems is young people hear these prayers by adults, and they're so beautiful, and they all fall into place, and they cover everything under the sun. And then, you know, the kid thinks, oh, I got to do the same thing. That's what a prayer is. Instead of a prayer being, bless us tonight, amen. Give us a great time, Lord, tonight, amen. Protect us on our way home, amen. One sentence. So if we modeled more, you know, more and short prayers, then people might have a shot at actually doing them. Maybe I can actually put one sentence together. I don't have to have this preamble to the prayer. I don't have to bring it into this huge landing. I don't have to do loop-de-loops. I can just do one thing. I praise you, Lord, for being alive. Done. That's the prayer. Create a prayer book. I mean, why not give people an opportunity to learn by reading prayers? That's how many of us, as a kid, that's how I learned how to pray. Lord, bless this food for Jesus' sake, amen. Now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know, that was the nighttime prayer. We had these little prayers. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Okay? Teach them the Lord's Prayer. But why not, again, make a little booklet of prayers. You know, good morning prayers. Blessing your school day prayers. Prayers before a sporting activity. Prayers before the youth group. Prayers for specific needs. You know, if a kid had a book, like, I don't know what to pray, I don't know how to do it, they just look it up. You know, prayers before a test. Prayers about relationships. Prayers about God's presence. I mean, hey, well, how are you going to do that? You're thinking to yourself. Just sit down with kids. What kinds of prayers would you like to have that relate? Let's talk about different things in our lives and how prayer might make a difference. It's probably one of the greatest things you could do for your youth group. Number three, there are some prayers that are already out there. Acts, Lord's Prayer, seven connections. Just want to go through them quickly. Acts stands for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. So adoration, what is adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication? Adoration. Okay, in Scripture, a prayer or in a song, adoration is giving God his worth. Lord, you are worthy. Psalm 95, verse 6, come let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 29, verse 2, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Okay. Sorry. Adoration. So, now, how are you going to get kids to do adoration? Okay, this is kind of difficult. It's praising God for who he is. I praise you, God, because you're loving. I praise you, God, because you're good. I praise you, God, because you're all-knowing. I praise you, God, because you care about each one of us. Okay, this is how you do it. This is how you get kids to pray out loud for the first time. You see, you know, we're going to use Acts. We're going to talk about adoration. And then you describe it. You give them a piece of paper, and you say, write down one sentence of adoration. So somebody writes, I adore you for your greatness. I adore you for your grace. I adore you. And they just write something down. Okay. And we go to the next one. Confession. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us all our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 32, verse 5. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Okay. Are there things in your life that you feel bad about? where you dropped the ball, where you hurt somebody, where you said something, where you didn't, you weren't kind to somebody. Okay, so you describe sins. And then you ask the kids to write one that they would like to confess. Just write it down. I confess that I didn't listen to my mother last night. Whatever it might be, just write one sentence. Okay? Go on to the next thing. Our failures, unmet goals, ongoing struggles, new sins. Okay. Thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Psalm 104. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Okay. Write down anything that you're thankful for. One thing. Well, who can't do that? Deep, write it down. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, whether in the word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Okay, so they write these things down. Okay, next. Success, goals achieved. I guess I have a lot of things, a lot of ways you can be thankful. Supplication, ongoing and new goals. Supplication is your needs. Needs in the seven connections. Okay, so write down a need that you have. Okay, so the kids have written one adoration, one confession, one thanksgiving, one supplication. And then what you do as the leader, you go, okay, well, now we're going to pray. We're going to pray out loud. How are we going to do this? Okay, here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to say adoration. And then everyone read what they have for adoration. Okay, here we go. Adoration. Somebody gets out. I adore you for being great. I adore you for your power. I adore you. Okay. Now we're going to talk about confession. Confession. Read what you have. So you just go around the room and everyone reads what they wrote down. And then you go to Thanksgiving. And then you go to supplication. You do the same thing. And then you go, amen. And everyone in the group has just successfully prayed out loud. And they used one sentence at a time to do it. And they just had to read what they already wrote. They don't have to get tongue-tied. They don't have to worry about blanking out. They'll have an experience of success from which to build on. You do the same thing with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's praise. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. That's supplication. Forgive us our debts. That's the whole confession thing. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. So you can use each part of the Lord's Prayer as one of those categories. And again, you can have them write something down for each one. And then you can together pray. We're going to do the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. Adoration. Okay, read what you wrote. It's simple. Seven connections. Okay? The seven connections of our life. We're connected to God. So prayer is related to God. If you're married, a youth group aren't married, but maybe they have a really close friend. Friendship prayers, family prayers, group of friends, church, the broader kingdom, what's going on in the whole world, and then people that aren't connected to Christ. So there's so many different ways that we can do this prayer thing, but I hope you're getting my point. My point is you start small. You start simple. You just want to get people starting to open their mouths and say any of these things. Like communicating with one another and God is not as difficult as we think. But it is if we don't help people do it. So, so my encouragement to you now is to try this out. You don't even have to be in a youth group to do it. You can do it with a friend. You can do it with your pastor. You can do it with anybody. I've taught people that didn't even believe in God. I said, why don't you learn how to pray and see if God shows up? And then you can teach them. Very simple. All right, we'll see you next time.